Buenos días. ¿Cómo están esta mañana? Oh, we're not in Mexico anymore? Okay. Happy Father's Day, everyone. It's good to be back. It's like we were talking about in those last songs, just how awesome it was to share God's love with those kids at the orphanage I went to who had been abandoned and didn't really have a true, like, earthly father, but it was cool that his love was able to be shown through me and my team as we played with them and served them there. So I guess just to recap, I went to the Baja California region of Mexico at an orphanage, or to an orphanage called Rancho Santa Marta, where they have a farm and some school buildings, and also the orphans' houses there. And I was able to do some construction projects there, and I'll get into a little more detail later. But we were able to also play with the kids and teach them some classes that were a little extra from what they would normally learn at the schools there at their campus or ranch. I think first, though, I'd like to open with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this morning, and just that I have the opportunity to share about what went on with me and our team in Mexico. Thank you for this church body who just is supportive in prayer and also finances and just their love. I want to ask that you would get me out of the way so that you could say what you want to say this morning, and yeah, just that your goodness would be seen. Help me to correctly interpret your word as I get into a little bit of a lesson later, and just that you would be glorified this morning. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. So thank you for your prayers and financial support on this trip. I really do appreciate it. And I think someone maybe prayed this morning, just the arms of God wrapped around them. And in some of those airports, there were like a lot of people, just like swarms of people. And I felt kind of alone, but there was that feeling that God was with me. So I appreciate your prayers and also your financial support. Actually, $5,665 were donated, partly from you all. But I only needed like $1,500, so that was above and beyond what I was hoping for, or at least needed for myself. But I was able, with that extra money, to put it towards some of the construction projects we did, and Bibles and tracts, games for the kids, gifts for the house staff there at the orphanage and ranch, and other trip expenses for the team. And then the little bit that was left from, I guess, the extra of the extra would, that I put towards just donating to the ranch. They had like a wish list for different school supplies and items that they needed, and that was kind of fun using that for the RSM, Rancho Santa Marta Orphanage. So, Alex, if you're ready, you can share that slideshow video. It's kind of fast, but it'll give you just a quick idea of what I did, and then I can go over a little more details after that. Hey, Alex, could you pause it at that verse at the end of the video, just so people can read it? And so I didn't put that video together. A guy on our team did that, just so you know. Yeah, there's a lot that we did. I think, Alex, I'll also, did everybody read that? James 1:27. I'll read it. Pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. So it was just cool to be doing what God wants. And not that we only do that when we travel to a different country, but that's what it's about. So, Alex, if you wanted to pull up those other pictures I had. This is near the beginning of our trip, where we stopped. I think it was still in San Diego. It was before we crossed the border, and we were packing up our groceries because we cooked all our meals. So we had one of the vans had a roof rack, so that was nice for all our luggage, and we were trying to fit the groceries in the back of, I think we probably spread it out. We had 3 15-passenger vans that we drove once we met in San Diego. You can go to the next one. This was Monday morning. Some of the boys and I that were in our cabin hiked this little mountain that they have there. They call it Mount Chichi, but it's somewhat hilly around there, so we had the opportunity to go on some hikes. And that's me on the far right. Oh, thank you. And you can go to the next slide. This was also Monday, later in the day. Actually, for most of the day, we were at the beach, at one of the beaches along the Pacific Ocean. And I'd never been in the Pacific Ocean before, so that was kind of a neat experience. I got to taste it, literally. It's pretty salty. And we were playing volleyball there. The orphans came with us that day, and they were really excited, having not gone for probably a year. Groups haven't been with them from COVID stuff, so they were really looking forward to that. And I think in the video you probably saw we were splashing in the water too, so that was a fun time, and playing soccer on the beach and eating lunch with them there. You can go to the next one. On the far right of this picture is a scorpion. I don't know if you can pick it out. It's pretty camouflaged. Thankfully, we didn't encounter too many deadly animals. And no one got, stung by the scorpion. You can go next one. One of the several different workshops or classes we presented was watercolor. So this is that. I think maybe the science pictures after this one. Nope, that's playing volleyball. You can keep going. Rancho Santa Marta, the name of the orphanage. You can kind of see the countryside. Very dry there. It wasn't hot. It was probably about 80 most of the time, but sunny and dry. And it was fun to be in the hills, too. There are 40 about in the orphanage. There's 2 boy houses and 2 girl houses, and a few older disabled or special needs folks in those, too. This is at Ensenada. On our way there, we stopped and got to do some shopping at a marketplace. I'm sorry, these are kind of all over the place. I tried to do them in order, but somehow they got missorted. I'll go back through and kind of give a day-to-day overview of what we did. This is just sort of to slow down the video so you can see some of these pictures a little better. You can go to the next one. Yeah, that's one of my most favorite memories, I think, playing on the beach with some of those guys, playing soccer. And I don't know if that's their most favorite sport, but they're pretty good at it. So you can go to the next one. Here's the science classes. We did art classes, science classes, just like an hour each, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. A chess class, like the board game, and did I say craft class? There was also a craft class. So this is science class. The guy leading this was teaching about electricity, so they were doing like static electricity with the balloons on their hair and trying to pick up little pepper flakes. You can go to the next one. This is chess. Yeah, some of them were getting really into it. It was fun to watch. Next one. This is one of the construction projects that I helped a lot with. We were painting some boards to put above a patio by the pool that they have so that in the 120 degree summer weather they can have some shade. So it was really cool to get that project done so that they can be cooler in their summer. Next. I thought that was cool to put in there because there were some neat sunsets that's looking out, I guess, the dining hall porch, you could call it. Next. One of the nights we hosted in the dining hall that we were using for our own meals, we hosted the two boys' houses for dinner. We had like chicken and rice and salad, but we had paper and markers to draw with the kids and just hang out. And this is Mateo's drawing, I think, of a dune buggy. There was like the Baja 500 while we were down there, so he was interested in that. Just something that one of the orphans did. This is a view from that mountain I mentioned earlier, which isn't a mountain, but it's a fairly large hill. Maybe it was a mile there and back from the ranch. They own 80 acres, the ranch. Some wildlife or wildflowers. Okay, so I'm gonna walk through what happened during the week now that you have maybe some pictures in your head to think about. On Friday, I left to go to San Diego because I didn't think it wise. Actually, it was probably Mom's idea, so thank you, Mom, because traveling is tiring. But I wanted to get to San Diego earlier so that the next morning I could have a good night rest and then join the team to drive over the border into Mexico. So Friday was pretty much just flying. And on Saturday, we met up with the team and crossed the border. On Sunday, we actually had the opportunity to go to the church that the ranch has. The residents there go to it, but also some village people from the village. And the church service there was neat. It was a lot like this, but also different. I really enjoyed singing songs in Spanish. Even though I didn't understand all the words, it was just fun to feel the spirit of worship. And the one song we did, it was No Longer Slaves, like I'm no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God, but it was in Spanish. So that was fun because I did know the words or like what the song meant, and just singing along with these Mexican believers in a different language, something special about it. And their church service was pretty open-ended throughout it. It had some structure, but it was neat how they gave the opportunity to share. And I had planned on this and was able to share my testimony there in Spanish, which was neat and I think well-received. And another girl who was on our team and had some special needs, shared her testimony too, which really made an impact on the kids there, because it just, they could relate to her. So it was fun to share and also hear them pray and just their hearts for God during the church service. I think you probably saw it during the video. There was these little girls up on stage. It's not like a big stage, maybe like this, but shorter. They were doing the hand motions to one of the Spanish songs, and they were so cute. I couldn't really follow, but it was fun to watch them and just have fun praising God. So the church service was Sunday morning. We did some team building later that day, and that was good because I hadn't actually met any of these people on my team in person, because they're all from the West Coast, and it was good to get to know them better Sunday afternoon. And yeah, it was cool to know that they were actually humans, not just faces on a screen. But yeah, it was cool to be in person with them and just bond. And then we got to meet the kids too that evening, just playing basketball and stuff. And that was kind of difficult for me, because not only was I new to these people, but they also spoke a different language, which I do know some. I've had the opportunity to go on this mission trip because this organization that does it teaches Spanish, and I've been taking classes from them. But it was challenging to be in a different country at first, with just the language barrier. And I felt a little out of place, and just I was struggling to remember all the kids' names, like, in a different language, and they talk really fast. But I realized it was almost easier bonding with them, just I don't know, playing with them. You don't really have to talk a lot. They just want you to love them, and they're having fun that you're there. I said that we hiked Mount Chichi, and we went to the beach. The classes we did were like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. But also, not everybody needed to help with the classes, so they could do construction projects if they weren't helping with that. And we did the painting for the shade covering, and also some concrete, which was included in the video. And another highlight for me was the rock collecting. We went and got rocks from kind of the countryside, where that little mountain is, out in the scrub grass. And it's not a desert, but it's really dry. So we got these cobblestone sized rocks to put in the concrete, and we drove out there with these old trucks and just worked together, getting 5-gallon bucketfuls of rocks to put with the concrete down in the foundation of the new building that they're hoping to add on their campus, and also creating a sidewalk in between two buildings. So that was the work we were doing. And then on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we went into San Vicente, the nearest town, to evangelize. And this was one of the stretching parts of my trip, because I'm still learning just how to present the good news to others. I think I've got it down pretty well, although I wish I did better telling the people about Jesus, but I'm just grateful for the opportunity that I had to do that, even if it was different trying to do it in Spanish or in a new place. And I'm grateful for how receptive the people were, just to at least listen to you a little bit. And actually, it was cool listening to them, because this one guy just was going on and on. I went in the park with someone, a couple other team members, and this guy, he just kept talking and talking, and I think I understood 30% of what he said, but I think he just really needed someone to talk to. And I gave him a Bible, and I'm trusting that he will learn about God in that. And another man who just couldn't stop smiling was like, really, he was gung-ho when I asked him if he wanted a Bible, and he just started reading it right away. It was neat to see how, I guess, thankful and grateful they were. But also, everyone needs the good news, so I want to do that there, but also evangelize wherever I am. So that's something that I'm learning how to do better. I want to accurately present the good news and also do it in a way that, like, I can always do it, not just going to Mexico. And we did that Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Each van went on a day to go into town. The people in Mexico, they're really, I think I mentioned they're grateful, but they're just simple. Like, they don't have a lot, yet they're happy. And I think I learned that just to be grateful for what I do have. I didn't see a lot of poverty. Most places were in between, like, really poor and wealthy. But the people were grateful down there and just smiling and friendly. So it was fun to interact with the locals a little bit. And at the market, when we were on the way down, I got to talk with them a little, like, in bartering. At first, it was difficult, like, knowing where to start, because they don't have price tags down there. But one guy he lived in Mexico 2 years, he was on our team. He kind of hung out with me at first and helped me just get through it. But I think we were there an hour, and that might seem like a long time, but it doesn't take, the time goes fast when there's like millions of things being sold all around you. There were lots of, I guess, stands. They had blankets and hats and everything. Anyways, it was fun being able to learn a little more Spanish with them, or going a little out of my comfort zone to talk and try to buy stuff or negotiate. And I got some good deals. And where was I going with that? Oh, I got to try, just, I guess, a side note. If you ever have the opportunity to eat churros, they're like Mexican pastries. They're really good. I got to eat those and get a taste of the Mexican culinary, what's it called? Like the fancy word for food, I don't know. So we got to get a little used to the Mexican culture. So throughout the week, when we had some time, normally towards the end of the day, after classes and construction projects, we got to play with the kids there at the ranch. And like I mentioned, at the beach, playing soccer was a lot of fun. We played that at their campus too, so that was a highlight for me. And just jump roping and playing tag. They had a lot of fun with that. And it was fun, like I said before, just playing with them and just being there for them, because not everybody in their lives has shown them that love. On Friday, I was feeling a little sick, but I think it was due to dehydration and just being tired at the end of the week, and I felt better throughout the day, so that is a praise to God. And as I look at, on the back of my paper here, it's different prayer requests, I think, that I handed out, and I think I can say that God did all these for us. We had Spanish speaking skills enhanced, good health and good sleep at night, that we would hear from God personally and really go spiritually, just being an encouragement to the children, staff, and local folk that we meet, safety, the activities, excellent devotions that our team did, seize the opportunities the Lord puts before us, and that we had clean hands and a pure heart in all that we thought and said and did, and just that he was glorified. I think that he was glorified in us serving there and speaking his love to those around us. And on Friday evening, we had to say goodbye, which was not as difficult as actually leaving the next morning for me anyways. I hadn't gotten too close to any of the kids, but the place was just so special, how they just care for the kids and just want to show God's love to them. So it was a little hard leaving, but we got to say goodbye by serenading. I mentioned there's four different houses of orphans, and we went to each one individually and sang, in Spanish we sang, and I got to play my ukulele too. I brought that on the trip for worshiping with our team, but we sang, "I've got the joy down in my heart and Jesus loves me," and just waved goodbye and had hugs and parted ways, and we left early the next morning. That's why we couldn't say goodbye then. And I actually want to share a song with my ukulele. I think I'm going to do that at the end, though, so we'll get to that later. But I want to share something that God was really putting on my heart during this trip. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Judges 6 and 7, where there's a story about someone who was feeling weak, but when he followed God, he was used, and God gave him strength. And sometimes during this trip, I felt weak and incapable and like had questions like, am I really making a difference? And just got discouraged. But when I ran to the word of God and to the truth, I was encouraged and found that God was using me down there, and he wants to continue to use me, even if I don't feel like I am capable or if I'm not the best person he could use. So if you found Judges 6, I'm going to start reading. Then the children of Israel, verse 1, then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites. The children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. So it was, whenever Israel had sown, the Midianites would come up. Also, Amalekites, and the people of the east would come up against them. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor donkey. For they would come up with their livestock in their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. That is verses 1 through 6, and that just gives some background to what Israel was dealing with at this time. Verse 7, and it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Also I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed me. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, O my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who talk with me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering and set it before you. And he said, I will wait until you come. I don't want to take too long here. It is to 18, verse 18 that I read. But 19 through, I think, 32 goes on about Gideon asking the Lord for signs that he would know that God is for him. And then he tears down some altars of Baal. Maybe I'll read that part. 25, verse 25 in chapter 6. Now it came to pass the same night that the Lord said to him, Take your father's young bull and the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has cut. That your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement, and take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image which you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. Verse 28, And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, there was the altar of Baal torn down, and the wooden image that was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was being offered on the altar which had been built. So they said to one another, Who has done this thing? And when they had inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, has done this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, Bring out your son that he may die, because he has torn down the altar of Baal, and because he has cut down the wooden image that was beside it. But Joash said to all who stood against him, Would you plead for Baal? Would you save him? Let the one who would plead for him be put to death by morning. If he is a god, let him plead for himself, because his altar has been torn down. Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, Let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar. I thought it was neat how Gideon, before we get to chapter 7, I just want to point this out. Maybe I'm running out of time. What time is it? Do I have time? I'll keep going, I guess. So Gideon was not following the gods of the Amalekites because he was trusting what God said to take down the altars that are among you, or the altar. I think he just cut down the one, and he took a stand for the one true God. And then, I'm sorry, I said that Gideon was asking for a sign before this. I think he did. He was sacrificing something to God. Then he took down the altar Then after that, he asked for a sign at the end of chapter 6. And then in chapter 7, now that Gideon has taken a stand for the one true God and seen with these signs that God is with him. Well, let's read. I'll read verse 1 of chapter 7. Then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Harod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead.' And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained." The Lord goes on in verse 4, saying that there's still too many people. And once he finally has the amount of men with Gideon that he wants, at verse 9 it says, "It happened on the same night, once the people were prepared to go into battle, that the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go down against the camp, for I have delivered it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterward your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp.'" I think this next part is neat. I'll read it. "Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. Now the Midianites and Amalekites, all the people of the east, were lying in the valley as numerous as locusts, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the seashore in multitude. And when Gideon had come, there was a man telling a dream to his companion. He said, 'I have had a dream. To my surprise, a loaf of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian. It came to a tent and struck it so that it fell and overturned, and the tent collapsed.' Then his companion answered and said, 'This is nothing else but the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Into his hand God has delivered Midian and the whole camp.'" And so it was, verse 15, "When Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, that he worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has delivered the camp of Midian into your hand.'" I think it's, first of all, at the beginning of chapter 7, it's neat how God didn't want the Israelite army to be too big because he didn't want them to take the glory. And later on, as Gideon is listening to this dream, it's showing how God is working for him. It's not by Gideon that the Midianites are to be overcome. It is through God. He's preparing the way. It's kind of like that song during the video, "The God of Angel Armies goes before us and behind." And after Gideon heard this dream in the camp, he worshiped God. So he had this humility, like he didn't take the glory. I'm trying not to bore you all, but I'm looking at this story and seeing how Gideon, this weakest in his clan and lowliest in his father's house, and this guy who God wants to use, he doesn't take the glory. He just bows down and worships God. In some version it says he bows down in verse 15. So I think I'll read up until verse 24 of chapter 7 to see how God works through Gideon and his men. Verse 16, "Then he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet into every man's hand with empty pitchers and torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them," this is Gideon, "Look at me and do likewise. Watch, and when I come to the edge of the camp, you shall do as I do. When I blow the trumpet, I and all who are with me, then you also blow the trumpets on every side of the whole camp and say, 'The sword of the Lord and of Gideon.' So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. Just think about this. There's 300 men going into a camp that it said is as numerous as the sands of the seashore. And watch what God does. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Verse 20, then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Acacia toward Zererah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah by Tebeth. And the men of Israel gathered together from Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh, and pursued the Midianites. So the Israelites, they didn't even have like weapons, and yet they didn't need them because God turned the Midianites, the men, against their own selves, and they were driven away by God's power. This story stood out to me for this morning, just not that I was going to war or something, but because I felt weak at some times during the trip. And like Gideon, I needed to humble myself and let God use me and work through me and let his strength be what drove me. And I think I will also read 2 Corinthians 12. We'll start at 7. This is Paul speaking, and he is going over this thorn that he has in his flesh. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And this is what God said to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I," Paul speaking, "will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I just want to encourage you this morning to not be afraid that you're not like good enough or strong enough, because God wants to use you where you're at, and what you've got is enough for him. So his strength is made perfect in weakness, and his grace is sufficient for you. In closing, I'd like to share a song on my ukulele. The name of this song is Cristo Me Ama, or Jesus Loves Me.
Cristo me ama, yo lo sé, en la Biblia dice que los pequeños son de él y su amor perfecto es. Si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, la Biblia dice así. Él su vida dio por mí, y el cielo Él abrió. Ahora mi alma es de Él, pues su sangre me limpió. Si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, la Biblia dice así. Cristo un nuevo corazón puso en mí a creer en Él. En la cruz murió por mí, en su amor quiero vivir. Si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, si Cristo me ama, la Biblia dice así.
Thank you.